Hello, this is Sharon, and I'm bringing you the pantograph for today, Wednesday, January 13th, 2021. We'll begin on the front page with an article entitled, Bet on Reopening, Video Gambling Businesses Hope for Vaccine Rebound. Pete Pontius is optimistic these days. He's in charge of loss prevention for Bloomington-based B&B Amusement of Illinois, which provides video gaming terminals to about 45 truck stops. COVID-19 shut down most of the revenue, but now with vaccines being administered, we're almost out of the tunnel. While the pandemic has caused damage in virtually all corners of the economy, it is especially pronounced in the hospitality and food and drink sectors, which were hit with a double whammy of revenue declines. First, a stay-at-home order cut off customers. That also meant video gaming, which has become a key money generator for the businesses, went dark. B&B quickly felt the impact. Employees were furloughed in the spring and before Thanksgiving. We have no revenue without the games, Pontius said. The numbers tell the story. $1.8 billion was played on the state's 35,477 gaming terminals in February alone, a number that dropped to 1.1 million in March and zero by April, the first full month of the stay-at-home order, state data shows. With it went the 25% of net terminal income, or the amount gambled minus what is paid out to the state, and 5% for municipalities. For businesses with terminals, also lost was the 50-50 split of what was left over. The effects are still being felt. The businesses, the small bars, country bars, and restaurants, it's a big part of their business, said Bob Grotkin, owner of Schooners, 810 East Grove Street in Bloomington, where money from the terminals has helped fund renovations and projects. While the pub doesn't rely on gaming revenue to pay the bills, Grotkin said, for many, those terminals can pay utilities, they can pay rent, they can pay the bank note, or pay your labor. There's so much you can do with that money, he said. The restrictions were lifted in July as infection rates improved and revenue came back in full force, with over $2 billion played during the month, state data shows. But as COVID cases rebounded, Governor J.B. Pritzker on November 14th signed an executive order banning indoor dining and limiting gatherings to 10 or fewer people for a second time. The order halted all licensed gambling operations and ordered all casinos to close. Though carryout and delivery are permitted, the mandate again crippled revenue from indoor dining and gambling. Business at Schooners has just started to pick up again when the state entered Tier 3 mitigations for a second time. The restrictions have found intense opposition among some restaurant owners. The sad part about closing the second time is that things had just kind of got rolling again, Grotkin said, adding that it took a while for people to feel comfortable dining. Outdoor dining in Bloomington Normal helped, but Grotkin said in the long run, the COVID restrictions are just not fair to our business at all because we're the ones getting the brunt of it. Municipal coffers are also feeling the impact of losing the money from gaming terminals. Though a minor revenue source, the money is a boon for cities such as Bloomington, which has consistently placed on the Illinois Gaming Board's top list of 10 video gambling cities, coming in at 7th in 2018. There are 55 businesses within the city with gambling machines, accounting for a total of 255 terminals. As of January, Normal has 15 businesses accounting for 79 machines. But due to two statewide shutdowns, Bloomington's share of the video gambling terminal tax revenue declined, bringing in $542,776 between January 2020 and November, nearly half of the revenue generated the previous year, according to state data. Normal's brought in $171,305 between January 2020 and November, down $51,773 from the previous year. When the terminals reopened in July, the Twin Cities saw some monthly growth, but the boost didn't last long as another round of restrictions came. Like Schooners, Bob Crawford, owner of Crawford's Corner Pub, 610 West Chestnut Street in Bloomington, said he is blessed to not have to rely on gaming revenue to scrape by. In fact, the money often goes right back into the business for expansions and renovations. "I've been able to do well enough selling food and beverage during the pandemic," said Crawford, adding that outdoor dining over the summer was a huge boost. "That allowed us to not coast through the winter time, but to go into the winter time and feel comfortable. I do like the city of Bloomington tried their hardest to accommodate bars and restaurants," he said. "At some point, I do feel like we need to let adults make adult decisions and move forward with this whole deal and try to get back to as normal is going to be for the future." Bloomington recently cited Crawford for violating state restrictions and continuing indoor dining. He appeared before the Bloomington Liquor Commission on Wednesday. Pontius, the B&B employee, said his workers also had to adjust during the stops and starts of the last 9 to 10 months. His company, which the State Gaming Board licensed as a terminal operator in 2012, supplies terminals to truck stops like the Pilot in Bloomington and Love's in Leroy. In June, they had to formulate a plan for reopening. That included expensive purchases of personal protective equipment, maximizing gaming rooms, and upping sanitation efforts, he said. "The expansion of vaccine availability is a good sign life may be returning to normal," he said. Last week, Pritzker announced that statewide Tier 3 COVID restrictions could be lifted starting Friday. Any region meeting state requirements may move past Tier 3, allowing for indoor dining. That change would allow terminals to restart. Pontius said, "There's light at the end of the tunnel, and we can see it, and it's getting brighter every day." But small businesses across Illinois are struggling with statewide restrictions, not just those placed on indoor service and gambling, Grotkin said. While he said some of the mandates place harsher restrictions on the service industry, it's tough to be a small business. "They're getting to be a thing of the past, and this is just expediting that deal," said Grotkin. "It's a bad deal for everybody. A lot of people are out of work from all kinds of companies, not just us. Personally, I just think there was a better way to work it out for our industry." Arena to serve as vaccination clinic. County to announce when more people are eligible for shots. Grossinger Motor Arena in Bloomington will be used as a community vaccination clinic when the next phase of the vaccine is distributed. The city has partnered with the McLean County Health Department, an emergency management agency, to run community vaccination clinics over the next 6 months and possibly beyond, said Bloomington City Manager Tim Gleason. We are fully committed to this joint effort, and we are using the Grossinger Arena for that, he said. County Health Administrator Jessica McKnight said the county is still in Phase 1A of the vaccination, and only health care personnel and residents of long-term care facilities are receiving vaccinations at this time. When Phase 1B starts, residents over the age of 65 and non-healthcare frontline essential workers are eligible to receive the vaccine. The health department will announce clinic locations and hours when the vaccine becomes available, Gleason said. Also, on Tuesday, it was reported Bloomington Fire Department paramedics have received their first injection of the vaccination series. Gleason also said that 88 city employees have tested positive since mid-March. That does not include the number of employees that we have had to quarantine because of a direct or indirect exposure, Gleason said. These 88 cases of employees that have tested positive include the library, seasonal and contractual employees as well. The McLean County Health Department reported 72 new cases on Tuesday, bringing the total number of probable and confirmed cases to 12,711. There are currently 892 McLean County residents isolating at home. As of Tuesday, 11,654 residents have been released from isolation and are considered recovered. The rolling 7-day positivity rate is 9% through Monday. There are 34 McLean County residents and 9 out-of-county residents hospitalized in McLean County with COVID. Hospitals are reporting 73% of ICU beds in use and 92% of total beds in use. There have been 131 COVID-related deaths reported in McLean County. In Livingston County, 37 new cases were reported on Tuesday, bringing the total to 3,454. There have been 62 COVID-19 related deaths. The Illinois Department of Public Health reported 6,642 new confirmed and probable cases on Tuesday and an additional 117 deaths. Illinois Department of Public Health is reporting a total of 1,040,168 cases, including 17,443 deaths. As of Monday night, 3,553 people in Illinois were reported to be in the hospital with COVID-19. Of those, 757 patients were in the ICU and 409 patients with COVID-19 are on ventilators. The preliminary 7-day statewide test positivity rate from January 5th through Monday is 8.6%. Also Tuesday, Illinois' top doctor received a COVID-19 vaccination at a suburban Chicago clinic after delivering an emotional address about the difficulties of the pandemic for healthcare workers and her own family. Department of Public Health director said she was getting vaccinated for her children and her husband, who was diagnosed earlier this year with a medical condition that puts him at higher risk. She added that she wanted to see family members again for real hugs, not virtual ones. I hugged and cried with my mother in person during my father's burial in February, and I am desperate to touch and hold and kiss my mother again, she said, before getting her shot at the Cook County Clinic. I can't wait until we have enough for every single person so we can put this nightmare behind us. Today's Flick Fact question: of the nearly 1,500 traffic intersections in Bloomington Normal, if you're sitting at the busiest traffic intersection in town, where are you? 1, Veterans Parkway at Empire Street. 2, Veterans at Morrissey Drive. 3, Market at Main Street. Or 4, College Avenue at Main Street. And the answer? State traffic studies suggest that it's 1, Veterans at Empire. More than 42,000 cars pass through every day. A century ago, number 3, Market at Main, was the busiest intersection in the cities and was called the Crossroads of Illinois because that's what it used to be, dividing Illinois by north-south and east-west. Hence, also, the Crossroads store at that corner in downtown Bloomington. Today in history, today is Wednesday, January 13th, the 13th day of 2021. There are 352 days left in this year. On this date in 1733, James Oglethorpe and some 120 English colonists arrived at Charleston, South Carolina, while en route to settle in present-day Georgia. In 1794, President George Washington approved a measure adding 2 stars and 2 stripes to the American flag, following the admission of Vermont and Kentucky to the Union. The number of stripes was later reduced to the original 13. In 1964, Roman Catholic Bishop Carol Wojcicki, the future Pope John Paul II, was appointed as Archbishop of Krakow, Poland, by Pope Paul VI. In 1967, the Rolling Stones' double A-sided single Let's Spend the Night Together and Ruby Tuesday was released in the United Kingdom by Decca Records. It was released the following day in the United States on the London label. And in 1982, an Air Florida 737 crashed into Washington, D.C.'s 14th Street Bridge and fell into the Potomac River while trying to take off during a snowstorm, killing a total of 78 people, including 4 motorists on the bridge, 4 passengers, and a flight attendant survived. And how time flies locally, from the back pages of the Pantograph, 100 years ago today, January 13th, 1921. The A.H. Arnold Company of Chicago will open a plant to make butter and lard tubs in the Letson Building on West Washington Street. The beginning workforce will be about 10 people. The wooden tubs will be sold to creameries for storing their products before shipment. 75 years ago today, January 13th, 1946, an early morning fire destroyed the Shady Nook Gun Club east of Normal. The clubhouse and all of its contents were lost. Normal Fire Chief Ralph Rich said it apparently burned for almost 30 minutes before anyone noticed and called for help. The loss was set at $15,000. 50 years ago today, January 13th, 1971, the new Evergreen Lake began filling with water yesterday. When it's full in 2.5 years, it will hold 4.2 billion gallons of water, which will double the city's water supply. Next Monday will mark the 3rd anniversary of bid openings on the $5 million lake. And 25 years ago today, January 13th, 1996, Normal Mayor Kent Kraker presented a budget that will have the town on a debt-free footing by the year 2000. Debt-free had been a buzz around Normal for some time, but could happen with this budget. The sales tax will increase, but property taxes won't. Bus transfer site eyed. Connect Transit, three potential downtown locations in the works. An announcement on the three potential locations for the proposed downtown Bloomington Transportation Center will be made in the coming few weeks, said Ryan Whitehouse, chairman of the Board of Trustees for Connect Transit. We are fully funded for this project, Whitehouse told the Bloomington City Council on Monday night. We have the money ready to go to build this project. Officials previously estimated the cost of the long-discussed project as between $10 million and $14 million. Last year, the Connect Transit Board approved hiring the Farnsworth Group to perform a feasibility study for the project at a cost not to exceed $244,700. A federal grant of $8 million was awarded to Connect Transit last year to help build the new transfer center. The money comes from a competitive grant for buses and bus facilities from the U.S. Department of Transportation Federal Transit Administration. Whitehouse said a project manager has been retained and the site analysis study is nearing completion. We hope that sometime this month, the final three locations will be announced, he said. We hope that final site selection will be in March, and we will then proceed with site acquisition. Connect Transit will seek input from the public and the City of Bloomington in their final decision. It is definitely exciting, said Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner. This not only improves transportation in our city and our entire community, but it also is a very important economic development tool. Having a mobile workforce is critical, but having a downtown transfer center will also help revitalize downtown because capital investment will always attract more capital. Whitehouse assured council members the wants and needs of the city will be taken into account in the final decision. The City of Bloomington will be at the table, he said. We look at this as a partnership, a joint project. Meanwhile, the search for a general manager is continuing. Former Normal City Manager Mark Peterson has been serving as interim general manager since the July 31st departure of Isaac Thorne, who left to become director of transit for Knoxville Area Transit in Tennessee. Harris Lusk, an executive recruitment search firm based in New York, has been hired to assist with the search. The firm has interviewed members of the Connect Transit Board and senior staff. Also, Connect Transit has released a community survey to gather input on what type of candidate the local public is looking for. The hiring decision is likely to be made in March. Three bars fined over COVID-19 violations. Three more businesses have been fined by the City of Bloomington for allowing inside dining, thereby violating state-imposed mitigation measures to slow the coronavirus pandemic. The Knights of Columbus at 1706 Route Dunn Drive, Fiesta Ranchera Mexican Restaurant at 1500 East Empire, each pled guilty and received a $400 fine. Crawford's Pub at 610 West Chestnut pleaded guilty to two violations and received an $800 fine at the Bloomington Liquor Commission hearing on Tuesday. Last month, Bloomington Mayor and Liquor Commissioner Terry Renner fined five Bloomington bars and restaurants. Applebee's, Cheeks Bar and Grill, Eastland Suites, Parkview Inn, and Garden of Paradise all admitted wrongdoing and paid a $400 fine. Joe's Pub received a $600 fine after a hearing in which they asked to plead their case in front of the commission. Previously, Cadillac Jack's, Daddy-O's, and A&P Tap also received fines. One other establishment, Mickey's Kitchen at 1709 South Veterans Parkway, did not make a plea, and the case was continued until the February meeting. City fines collected for COVID regulation violations will help to give Bloomington District 87 families a hand as part of a partnership between the city and the school district. Renner, Mayor Pro Tem Boca Milwambi, and the city manager Tim Gleason signed an executive order, the funds, now totaling over $5,000, to District 87. Those funds were collected as fines from food and beverage establishments, the city says, violated state mandates requiring masks and restricting indoor dining. Bob Crawford, owner of Crawford's Pub, attended the virtual hearing and asked, and didn't dispute the violations, but asked for answers from the commission, which is chaired by Mayor Renner. "I know you guys have heard everything from every other owner in town," he said, "but I received an email from our gaming company today, and they said they're going to allow gaming, which we moved when we once we moved to Tier 2, which supposedly our region will do on Friday, if I'm correct. But at some point, is this really about safety anymore? We're allowing people to come into our establishment so the state can make money, but we're being asked not to allow people in so they can't make money. I'm confused." Renner said he was not aware that patrons would be allowed to gamble, but still not dine or congregate at the bar, which are still violations under Tier 2. "We will look into that and try to find the answer for you," Renner said. City Attorney George Boyle said safety is still a concern. It is worth noting that there were 250,000 additional cases in the United States today, and 3,000 additional deaths were recorded. There is a safety issue and a pandemic that is ongoing. Tier 2 would still disallow indoor dining. I can look into that and we can discuss it. It sounds rather odd that people would be allowed to go in for video gaming but not to eat, though, Renner said. The city is expected to send a letter to liquor license holders this week about the possible move to Tier 2, but promised Crawford to look into whether or not gaming would be allowed. Bloomington's five-day forecast. Today will be partly sunny with a high of 40. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low of 30. Thursday, expect a stray afternoon shower, temperatures between 42 and 27 degrees. Friday, snow showers with a total of 1 to 2 inches, temperatures between 33 and 25 degrees. Saturday will be cloudy, breezy, and chilly, a high temperature of 32 and a low of 21. And Sunday, mostly cloudy and chilly, with a high temperature of 28 and a low of 19. I'll take a short break now and then return. One. Please stay tuned.